Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, I thank the Most High. Indeed, we're back again for another episode, another very precious episode, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edom Yah, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Indeed, so very thankful to the Most High. Very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity, indeed, to be back with you here again. Speak these very precious words. Yes, these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of his people. And I welcome my brothers and sisters, and even am thankful to the Most High for every ear that he brings near. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, that I have for him some very important, yes, some very important things for him that I must do. And he told me because of what I must do, he said to me that I would accrue indeed some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. The Most High has told me. Yes, indeed, he has told me. And I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. The men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, awesome is the truth of the scriptures, that in its absolution, its pure perfection, expose so much of the mass misconceit that has presently been taught amidst the churches, and amidst the nations. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, and understand. 45,000 denominations in the world today. Yes, 45,000 denominations, different styles of belief. And many say are all part of the faith in the Messiah of Israel. And many of my brothers and sisters despise the idea about him being the Messiah of Israel at all. But 45,000 denominations, and let's just say the status quo puts under the titles of Christianity, whether it be Protestant or Catholic, some who are messianic, believing unto the keeping of the law, the Most High, and others saying otherwise. Well, it's certain that if all believe the pure and perfect word of the Most High, the multitude of these divisions could not exist. Therefore, I can only tell you what the prophecies actually say. Acts 3:18-23 is an example. Isaiah, Isaiah 9:16-20. These prophecies relate the Messiah will come ultimately that he bring to remembrance the fullness of all the prophets have said since the world began. Therefore, to bring about a restoration, and remembrance of all things, therefore to expose all the institutionalities of man that have hidden the greater knowledge of the truth. Hear me. If all were aware of the fullness of all the prophecies have said, purely and completely, this multitude of divisions could not exist. Therefore, in the revelation of this greater light, the right understanding of all these things the Most High has spoken, in the right revelation, right understanding of these things, the multitudes of treacherous vows against the righteousness of Yah, and the multitude of churches, 45,000 denominations, please, 280 nations, please, all these diverse rulerships after which men have been captured, all these false allegiances, therefore sin, divisive institutions against the knowing of the righteousness of Yah. Scripture says, in that truth, all these shall be exposed. However, those of us who know the truth know that the rulers would prefer you not to discern this. They prefer that you never understand what must be the eventuality that a world be restored. I said that a world be restored truthfully unto the will of one, unto the will of the one Most High. However, my brothers and sisters, the truth must be known. There are many who take the scriptures, the prophecies, choose to take them entirely out of context, entirely out of context of their chronology. Some not even discerning that they are chronologies. So as to deceive mankind not to discern what indeed has in this world occurred. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, without question, a great revolution is coming, but it is a revelation revolution. Think about it. So much prophecy relates again and again that Messiah will come to expose whatever are the intrusions of unrighteousness, powers of perdition, the principalities and powers, whatever it is that the nations of the earth, the rulerships of the earth, have been intrusive among the churches, intrusive against the doctrines of the churches. Of the early church. Intrusive, my brothers and sisters, and constraining the doctrines according to the designs of the rulers. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, Rome immediately despised the idea of a faith arising in the midst of the people that automatically compelled the people to understand full well that the rule of Rome was a farce. That the rule of Rome by no means was what they should be in allegiance to, the people should be in allegiance to, if they were going to prepare for the coming of the Son of Man. Rome could not have such a faith, so they brought in mass compromise, lies, illusions, all manner of schemes to totally, completely misrepresent the purpose for the coming of the Messiah. Scripture says he will come to expose that pretense with the spirit, the testimony of his mouth. He will expose all the wicked, expose all the lawless. Scripture said the wicked is the scepter of the rulers in 14 and 5, Isaiah, who smote the people by leaving them without instruction. How about by leaving them also with so much misinstruction? But that's not the kind of thing that pastors by and large have taught. We examine the scriptures closely, we find out that Isaiah 13, second chapter of Isaiah, 44th to 45th chapters of Isaiah, 34th chapter of Isaiah, all these scriptures, I could just go on and on and on and on, I promise you, speak of how, and I'm talking about from Genesis to Revelation ultimately, even in the first declaration of the coming of Messiah called Shiloh. One called Shiloh, relates that in exposing all the unrighteousness of the rulers, I said, political, national, church, whatever, cultural, social, in exposing all these miscreant ideals, Scripture says, finally shall men know, again, what is a firm foundation upon which to worship the Most High. He exposed every faulty foundation over and over again. When the scripture is talking about him unto whom the nations shall seek, and whom the gathering of the people shall be, it's talking about, my brothers and sisters, people being prepared to exceed all the unrighteousness of all the rulers. I said all of the rulers. That they, when they discern indeed what is truthfully the righteousness of Yah beyond all supposition. Well, as much to relate in order to make these things clear, let me even begin by saying this. Scriptures do speak about an earlier of a great tribulation. We'll find that those scriptures actually are talking about a tribulation that occurred in the first four centuries of the early church. Later on, for instance, in the book of Luke, they describe what is called great distress upon the nations. First, the great tribulation, times of Jacob's trouble. Upon those who dwell in Jerusalem. How about those who call ultimately seek Jerusalem as a home? Those who are the people of faith. Scripture says great persecution upon them. Great tribulation upon them. Murderous times. As the scripture says, must be brought short, lest no flesh might be saved. My brothers and sisters, those murderous times of the first four centuries when literally millions were murdered in the first centuries for upholding the faith, Yeshua. I would have you to give consideration to this, my brothers and sisters, that those murderous times did not come to an end with the coming of Messiah. But the scriptures talk about a rise of false prophets. And rather than tell you that the prophets have declared that nothing will bring an end to this mass of corruption, this double-mindedness, yes, even among the churches, nothing will bring about an absolution whereby absolute righteousness will reign among the congregations until Messiah himself shall return. So what does this mean about the institutions? The men have trusted. They've chosen that you not know this, that you not realize what Messiah really meant when he said your righteousness must exceed that of the rulers, else you should not enter the kingdom of Yah. Meaning that your understanding and your obedience to the law and the prophets must exceed that of your rulers. Else you shall not, I said, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Well, I'd like to start with scriptures like the one we find in Matthew, I'd like to look at Matthew. I'd like to look at Luke. I'd like to look also, let me go ahead and put it up here. I'd like to also look at Mark. I said Mark, my brothers and sisters, with regard to these things. What was Messiah talking about when he talked about something would come to an end? And they were asking the question. And many have a tendency, my brothers and sisters, to think those scriptures talk about what comes to an end. That he was talking about in Matthew 24. Many want to believe that's the end of the age. Truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, those prophecies are actually talking about the fall of Jerusalem. Let me make these things clear. I would like to explore these things in depth. Let's see, Mark 13 and 8. Let me put this up as it's written in the Aramaic. Mark 13 and 8. I want to be prepared to get through all of these. Let's see. Righty Dunny. Mark 13 and 8. Okay. All right. I'd like to read these verses to you in the context of each of these texts. Some of this is easy to find. Some you might have to pull up the web in order to see it. At Matthiah, speaking about the things that were to come, I'd like to look back at, I believe I'm going to have to go all the way back to Matthew 24, at the beginning of the 24th chapter, that we see all these things clearly and plainly. There's so much evidence to relate absolutely what these scriptures are having to say. And quite frankly, my brother and sister, the number of interwoven precepts contained in the scripture that direct us to, ultimately, if we give all of them consideration, one point, are more numerous, my brother, since I believe that if I were to have a few hours, it would still not be enough. When I say a few hours, I mean from now until perhaps midnight and beyond. It would still not be enough to relate all the ways in the scriptures that what I would tell you about the true scenario of these things. It would not be enough to tell you all the ways the scriptures relate what is the true scenario and the chronology concerning the things of which I speak here. So I will attempt to move through as much of it as I can in the time allotted. And I pray the Most High will grant His Spirit. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, I pray the Most High will grant His Spirit that His people might discern indeed what is being spoken of. He said, Matthew 24 and 1, and Yeshua went out and departed from the temple. Notice he was departing from the temple of having lamb blasted, actually, if you read the 23rd chapter. Lamb blasted the priest. He says, Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. I said, the buildings of the temple. And Yeshua said unto them, see ye not these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That, my brothers and sisters, was a tantamount statement. I repeat, that was a tantamount statement, my brothers and sisters, for those who lived in Jerusalem. In fact, for every Israelite who lived in the lands of Judea. For to speak of the utter destruction of the temple, even the palace, if you will, my brothers and sisters, the temple, and the palace of, well, if you want to call it that, for the rulers of Jerusalem, ruled over the people, but believe me and trust me, under the authority of Rome. We need to talk about that again. Rome came in some few decades before the birth of Messiah, killed off all the priests, and set up a priesthood catering to Roman ideals. Remember, that was a priesthood who said they had no king but Caesar. So there was mass hypocrisy ruling over Israel at the time. So, understand, my brothers and sisters, such hypocrisy, shall the Most High tolerate forever? You need to think about it. So what does the Most High intend to do? So Yeshua says, see these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I want you to consider something, my brothers and sisters. Do we see today? I said, do we see today? That temple in Jerusalem still standing? Or was it long ago torn down? Think about it. And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Notice what he just mentioned. And what should be the sign of thy coming near the end of the world? Did you notice what the first priority was? When will these things be? Let us continue. What do you mean, these things be? And then he said, and what will be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? Yeshua answered, say, take heed that no man deceive you. For many will come in my name, many will say that they are representatives of him, saying that he is the, hope you understand it. Early on, they would have said the Kurdi. They would not have used that Greek word Christ by any means. Then I'm the Kurdi, the righteous one who was expected. But guess what? We live in an age now, the very rare few know the Messiah as the Kurdi. He said they shall deceive many. But those of you who know what I'm talking about, who listen to this show on a regular basis, who have already listened to this show on a regular basis and have given attention to the article on my website, www.hiddengospel.com, the article called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I speak of the one called the Kurdi. The one that is mentioned at Isaiah 40, 27 through 41, 4, where the scriptures say in the latter days must expose all the rulers. One scripture says, when scriptures speak of, when it says, they await for the Lord to renew their strength, of which in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, the apostle Shaul spoke of those prophecies in the latter day. Yes, I said his latter day. Isaiah 40:27 through 41:4. In the context also, my brothers and sisters, of Jacob, a book called James. Talks about the provocation among the nations, Israel scattered among the nations. Talks about casting aside of all double-mindedness, all the mindset of the flesh. Grass withers, the flower fades. Those of you who know the truth, know those scriptures of which I just mentioned are also relative to Isaiah 40 through 41 again. They await for the Most High. They await for them for the Messiah shall renew their strength. Malachi calls him in the last days. Talk about the last days, about his appearing. Lord whom ye seek. Certainly, my brothers and sisters, it's because men have not known the Most High to the full degree that they should. Scriptures, he calls him he for whom you should seek, he for whom you are waiting. It means, my brothers and sisters, if you don't know him as the great I am that I am and all that he is, then certainly we must seek him. My brothers and sisters, have men done this to the degree that exposes, I repeat, have men done this to a degree, exposes all the unrighteousness of the kings and the priests, who all teach after their own righteousness to the maintenance of their variant pulpits and thrones, forgetting that the earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof. It's time to think about these things, my brothers and sisters. Like I said, those who know the truth, the idea of Messiah, the Kurdi, who exposes all the rulership of the nations rather than opposed all this corrupt misrule. Men have not known By and large, I've not known Messiah in that context. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? But have known what is misrule after the corruptions of the varying nations. Therefore, there is a serious need to discern the truth of these concerning these things. But the people of the Most High discern what they are to look forward to, discerning what has occurred, discerning also what to look forward to, that they not, I repeat, that they not be deceived. Okay. I would tell you that the scriptures at Micaiah 24th chapter that we were looking at, and it said Micaiah 24th chapter, in this 24th chapter 6 verse, actually reads more in this wise than the Aramaic. They took this concept out of your King James Version, but I want you to consider it and try to translate things a little bit differently. He said, you're bound to hear revolutions. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? He said, you're bound to hear revolutions and rumors of wars. Be aware and do not be disturbed. All these things must come, but the end is not yet. And in this case, what end were they speaking of? The same verse reiterated in the book of Luke. NIV translation, for instance. Not to say that I favor the NIV translation, but however, it does relate this verse in the context that you might see it. Luke 21:9 says, when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. End of what? Let us consider. And Luke 21 and 5. It says that he spoke concerning the temple. Listen. Said he spoke concerning the temple. That was the first, then the priority of these verses. He spoke concerning the temple. I was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. And he said, as for these things, and when will all these things be? As for these things which you behold, the days come in which there shall not be left a stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be of these things? Be when these things shall come to pass? Okay, we understand in the prophecies then, the chronology of these things must be first, then the fall of the temple. Why do I say this? Think about it. I can only tell you that the prophecies say that when Messiah returns third time around, he, I didn't see any other, will build the temple. Did you hear me? It is he that will build a temple at Jerusalem, where at he shall reign. No, it won't be any Antichrist temple that he reigns from. There is, in fact, my brothers and sisters, among all the churches, denominations, and whatever today in nations, there is no present throne, my brothers and sisters, upon which it can be said it is worthy upon which to sit the king. king must establish again a throne. My brothers and sisters, true to the righteousness of Yah. And quite frankly, Isaiah 27, 9 through 12 tells us that all these variant temples and institutions of man that are misruled over the people, there will be no atonement for mankind until these are no more. For the Most High, we have no preservation. Will not, let's just say, be pleased with the preservation wherever his word has been slandered and misadministered. So you need to understand what in fact is the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters. Indeed, there's a great need to understand. I would like to go back here. I'd like to really use both Luke, actually. I'd like to use both Luke and Matthew in the context of explaining these things, because they relate a strong set of parallels. They relate a chronology that is a blessed thing to be able to behold, to understand truly its meaning. Revelation 6 is also a chronology. We need to understand the chronology of which we speak. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, 24 and 6. We talked about the verse that says this action is talking about revolutions that are to come. Luke 21, 9, when you hear wars and revolutions, it says, do not be frightened. I'm talking about the NIV translation. Say, these things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. We talked about the idea about these scriptures are talking first, then about the temple and its fall. Here, my brothers and sisters, there had to be an event that occurred. Jerusalem has fallen in the form which, from the form in which they knew at that time. The temple that stood at that time no longer stands. What then shall we understand if we are wise? Most High must have prophesied of an event that has occurred. So we must, in discerning these prophecies, give consideration of that event. Let us consider. He says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Trust me, my brothers and sisters, all the prophecies do relate that in a time of Messiah's appearing, there's going to be a great revolution. But it's going to be a revolution, my brothers and sisters, wrought as a result of a very powerful testimony that will expose ultimately both church and state. There will be famines, the scriptures speak of, but it is because the nations resisted and continue, even as of now, resist the knowledge of the truth that the earth does not bring forth its increase. Pestilences, yes, Revelation speaks of them. You need to read from the 8th and 9th chapters of Revelation. Scripture talks about kind of pestilence where men will look for death and can't find it. Earthquakes, yes. The scriptures also speak about a great earthquake that must occur at a city. Revelation 16:12-21. Revelation 6:12, leading up to the 7th chapter, talks about a great earthquake. Well, that happens at a city, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 24:10-16 speaks the same. That will expose all the rulers of the earth, because that city is an example of all the false doctrines being taught by both church and state across an entire world. Isaiah 19:18-25 calls it, that city, the city of destruction. Confusion is called, my brothers and sisters, at Isaiah 24:10-16. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, there's a need perhaps to go back and listen to this show after we finish, because I need to relate this chronology. On an article on my website that you'll find in the chat, hiddengospel.com, an article called The Secret City Prophecies. There's so much for brothers and sisters. The scriptures say in advance the rulers will not speak of. But my brothers and sisters, they refuse to speak these things that you not discern what is the current condition, what the Most High has looked upon among the churches, you know, among the various palaces of the earth, and the depravity that has been perpetuated now, my brothers and sisters, for many, many centuries. In fact, my brothers and sisters, so much of this depravity is collected since the dawn of human fall. Has entered in among the churches, but men oriented after the ways of men have not discerned this iniquity. Certainly not to the dimension that Messiah must come to expose it in order to establish, for the Most High, a holy kingdom. So I want you to consider, these scriptures are first talking about the fall of Jerusalem. He said all these things are the beginning of sorrows. There's going to be a lot of these things, but that doesn't mean that Jerusalem is a fall yet. Let me continue. Then shall he deliver you up to be afflicted. He's talking about, think about it. Those under Roman rule who were the priesthood at Jerusalem at the time, certainly they persecuted, they persecuted those who turned toward the faith. Because quite frankly, they were as much procurators, if you will, for the cause of Rome in so many ways as had been even Herod himself, a Pilate. They were in position, my brothers and sisters, to quell any revolutionary spirit against the tyranny of Rome. But my brothers and sisters, they themselves were allies to Rome in a very surreptitious manner. And he was talking about how those who believed, that they sent forth the gospel among the nations, how they'd be persecuted by the rulers of those nations because of the anticipation of the Messiah who would expose the rulers, both religious and political, across the nations. And it says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. You need to think about how it is that by 70 A.D. so many of the apostles had already been murdered. That you should be hated by all nations for my name's sake. How about because you seek to uphold what is the honorable nature of the faith? And he was talking to men, my brothers and sisters, before 70 A.D. We need to look at Revelation 6 that speaks of the same. And then shall many be offended. And they shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. The revolution that was being talked about at that time was a revolution because many were turning from, let's just say, what is the common status quo, toward faith in the righteousness of the one that transcended all the diversitudes that are misruling standards of men. But he said, even as the prophets themselves said, the apostles themselves spoke. Remember the book of Jude. Talk about men coming in unawares, corrupting the faith, perverting the grace and the knowledge of Yah after their own licentiousness. All my brothers and sisters. The apostle Shaul spoke many times about how false teachers were coming into the church, corrupting the faith. And he said, these false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. He said, the iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. How about men's even love for the full righteousness of Yah? Begun to wax cold. These things happen, my brothers and sisters, begun to happen because of so much persecution. Already before the fall of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. But he said, he that shall endure unto the end, how to keep the fullness of his work, shall be saved. That word, endure to the end, means keep the fullness of what the Most High declares. In other words, despite all persecution, to walk after a multitude of provocations, of partial and imperfect standards, it's those who still uphold the truth that shall be delivered. Saved, made whole. That's what the word saved even means. Like salving a thing, healed, it is whole. Beyond all afflictions, cuts, damage. And it said, and this gospel of kingdom shall be preached to all the world for witness unto all the nations. How about all the nations as they somewhat knew them at that time? Because you need to look at what these scriptures are about to tell you. Rome was the so-called known world. And then shall the end come. The end of what? The gospel was going forth at that time, my brothers and sisters, from Jerusalem. The apostle Cephas, they called Peter. Jacob, they called James later. Actually preached from Jerusalem at the primary citadel from whence the gospel went forth. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. It only makes sense. At the feast, the people came from all the nations to Jerusalem to see if they might be of one accord. And it says, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads it, let him understand. Or we could talk about such things, my brothers and sisters, as the accumulation. Listen to me closely. The accumulation of corruption from among the Gentiles entering the faith, resistant against the law of the Most High. I want you to think about what I mean by that. Some of you quite well understand that Jews were not allowed to police Gentiles. You know about when Shaul, under persecution, Pharisees and Sadducees, when he let it be known before court that he was, and this is a Gentile court, when he let it be known that he was a Roman citizen, it knows how all the priests stepped back afraid because they knew that they had no right, not under Roman rule, to have any jurisdiction over a Roman citizen. Okay. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, the accumulation of abominations in the holy place and that which was spoken by the prophet Daniel. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. If it occurred, and it did, that there was a need in the book of Acts to warn Gentiles against bringing their idolatries into the temple. Eating, let's just put it this way, partaking of animal strangled and blood. Get my point, the kind of thing they did in their temples. The fornications that Gentiles wrought in their temples, in their pagan temples. These things brought into Jerusalem, my brothers and sisters, were a great corruption. And Israel having to make accommodations for these corruptions, let me tell you something, was something that wrought the beginning of a great revolt in Jerusalem against the wickedness of the nations coming in. Something I know they don't talk to you about because, quite frankly, they didn't see it to their advantage. Much more to speak about concerning this, but I want you to consider what I'm talking to you about. And say, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Certainly we know that Jerusalem temple no longer stands, so there had to be a prophecy concerning that event. And say, let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him that is in the field turn back to take his clothes. Woe to them who are with child, and those who give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter. Flight, flight, flight. Leaving Jerusalem. Neither on the Shabbat day, meaning that the Shabbat was still being observed. 24:21. Then shall there be great tribulation. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Not of that immediate nature. Not like this, the one that did occur. That was my brothers and sisters, continue for some time. And it said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, for the chosen's sake, should those days be shortened. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. Millions were murdered in those first four centuries. You've seen a lot of the movies. Christians fed to lions. Burned at the stake. For sport. Hunted down like dogs, my brothers and sisters. Forced fight against wild animals. I could just go on to the type, go on and on to the type of things that they actually did to those who believed, because they would hold on to the faith. Say if those days were not shortened, no elect flesh would be preserved. And I would have you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that those days were not shortened. They did not come to a proverbial seeming lightning or beginning of an end. Not with the coming of Messiah, my brothers and sisters, but the scriptures say with the rise of false prophets. Listen, said then the Son of Man, say, lo, he is a Christian, a believer. Or they are believe it not. What is it saying? I know it's going to sound funny when I tell you this. But the scriptures in Revelation 13 talks about a system that rises up that made war against saints, having horns like a lamb and speaking as a dragon. It is a false faith that these people, the early church, was warned against. Warning the people that were to come centuries later to be very careful, my brothers and sisters, about what you believe in terms of the faith, because there was going to be a false church, false doctrines, false prophets, false believers. Some everywhere, because Rome murdered those who would not capitulate after Roman rule when they established their Western polytheist Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church. Then he said, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, meaning that since they, I'll show you this in Revelation 6, since they murdered those who upheld the faith. And the scripture says there would be continual murder until all the brethren were killed. It means, my brothers and sisters, you should be very careful even to this very day concerning so many who claim to be believers, because the scripture is saying there would be only contamination to remain until Messiah himself returns to expose it all. That you will find in 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter. People ask, when shall be the gathering? Oh, and certainly they weren't talking about a gathering to a Jerusalem under Roman rule. They certainly weren't talking about a Jerusalem, my brothers and sisters, under priesthood that was under Roman rule. In 2 Thessalonians, it warned against the powers of perdition. What do you think is the foundation of nations that knew not Yah? The powers of perdition. Rulership of the nations. The gospel went forth to the nation to convert them. But my brothers and sisters, if the nations were all converted unto the will of one, you wouldn't see all these divisions you see today. So I want you to consider something. Scripture says, Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations everything he declared. If they were truly true to all that he declared, truly having heard the gospel, and the gospel of the kingdom on high, uncompromised, by no means contaminated or corrupted after the ideals of men, all these divisions couldn't exist. And certainly couldn't be a multitude of some 45,000 denominations after one spirit. Impossible. So there needs to be an understanding, my brothers and sisters, concerning these things. Scripture says there will rise false Christs and false prophets, meaning that the institutions of man that call themselves the church, in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, contaminated after the world, are filled with nothing but false, fallen, foolish, deceptive doctrine, claiming to be sufficient unto the salvation or the deliverance from every lie, but is filled with lies. And they should show great signs and wonders, insomuch as if it were to deceive even the very elect, even the very ones the Most High would call to understanding. See, behold, I've told you before. Be one. Therefore, if they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not out. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. He was talking about a long period of time, brothers and sisters, in which Messiah would not be present. Listen to you. Listen to me. If you look at these scriptures closely, you'll find where the scriptures say something, and after that, and then, verses like that, and I'm going to show you where you can find this and look at the comparison between, like I said, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17 and 24, for that matter. Both need to be looked at. He says, for a long time then, if they say he is there, he is not. They put down, as the lightning comes out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. What the word really means, brothers, is that the lightning or the sun shines out forth from the east and shineth even unto the west. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man, or the announcement of his presence be. There's a scripture here that needs to be looked at in Matthew 24, 28. Say, from wherever the carcass is, there were the, they put down eagles, but it means there were the vultures gather. Notice it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Moon shall not give a light, stars fall from the heaven. The powers of the heaven shall be shaken. All these scriptures in Isaiah 13. He says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They see the Son of Man. Why should they mourn? Because all the tribes of the earth realize how long they've been deceived. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. They put down clouds of heaven. The power and great glory, great glory. I can only tell you the word for clouds there. Need to go back and look at those things closely, my brothers and sisters. So many times in scripture the words for clouds there relate a message from on high. You say they all baptized under the same cloud, under the same message in 1 Corinthians 10. They all followed the same rock, and that rock was the Messiah, even the Kurdee. Lots of scriptures, my brothers and sisters, speak about this. You want to know more about it? Please, my brothers and sisters, give yourself a chance to examine the scriptures on my website, hiddengospel.com, Secret City Prophecies, where I relate ample scripture relating these things. In fact, the article you might find is a deep study. It's quite long, in fact, many, many, many pages of cross-references with regard to everything which I've just spoken to you. I can only tell you that these scriptures need to be looked at in the context of Revelation 6. What they will not tell you is in the context of Revelation 6 and Revelation 19, the white horse rider is actually the Messiah himself. The red horse rider, white horse rider goes forth to conquer and to conquer. How about my brothers and sisters sending forth the gospel of peace. Red horse rider says he comes to take away that peace. Who is the red horse rider? It is the nations of the earth retaliating against the gospel. Remember Messiah said, you'll be hated by all nations for his name's sake. How about for the sake of his gospel? In other words, the nation retaliating against the pure, perfect word and establishing a multitude of partialities, i.e. corruption, therefore seeking to preserve the various thrones and pulpits of this world. 24:31, he was sent forth his angel. The word for angel is also message, with a great sound of a trumpet. How about a message, my brothers and sisters, that incites the people with the knowledge of the truth, that gathers together his people, his elect one from the four winds, from one end that they put down heaven, but the word there, my brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you now, the word heaven, Shemayim in the Hebrew, actually can relate the ends of the earth. It can relate the immediate, that was the ends of the earth, we all talking about the first heaven. Second heaven, the fowls of the air, and maybe even go as far as to talk about the stars and the planets. The third heaven, my brothers and sisters, is the Father's throne. Things you need to know that were understood by the ancient Hebrew mind. Let me go forth to explain something to you. In Isaiah, to understand these things closely and understand what these scriptures are really talking about, there's a need to examine Isaiah 19:1. It's a prophecy, it's a latter-day prophecy, my brothers and sisters, concerning the fall of this very much so Babylon-Egyptian Moabite-type system that would seek to keep the people of the Most High scattered and blinded as to what is the true righteousness of Yah. Scripture says this is a prophecy concerning the fall of Egypt. Behold, I want you to hear what the scriptures should be translated as. The Most High, or in this case, it's like Messiah coming. He rides into Egypt with a swift cloud. Remember the scripture said in Malachi, he comes with a swift testimony to testify against all the priests who have, as you heard me, I said priest. Read Malachi 2:1. Read Malachi 3:1-4. Look at 2:17, where it talks about how the priests have lied when they said a multitude of corrupt ways. This is a diverse doctrine, somehow good in the sight of the Most High needs light and such. If the Most High won't declare righteousness, or judge according to a pure righteousness, he says he's going to expose those priests. And quite frankly, the way it's written down there, the same thing's written in Revelation 6. They shall not be able to stand, nor shall the rulers. So the prophecy concerning the fall of Egypt means this very much so tainted religiosity we see across the world that is far from the faith that was the trust of the early church. In fact, my brothers and sisters, as I said to you before, present churches today don't even know Messiah as the Kurdi in the context of the one who must expose all the unrighteousness of both church and state, that men recognize one king. Saying, behold, he rides into Egypt with a swift testimony. How about a strong testimony, a strong word that rebukes all the unrighteousnesses of men? And the misruling vanities, they put down idol. The word for idol is vanity. Same thing saying false doctrine or all the false premises that men have trusted. Shall be shaken, moved. How about shown unstable at his sudden presence? And the heart, the social coalescence, the ideals, the controlling bodies of knowledge that the Egyptians have held to, that the rulers have impugned upon the people, to keep them in allegiance to sin. Lies against the Most High shall melt, be dissolved in the midst of it. All my brothers and sisters, there's a need to understand these prophecies are spoken of also in 2 Kings 3:10. But it's talking about something that certainly happens in the last days. But it's a revolution, my brothers and sisters, that will expose the unrighteousness of what is being done. Yes, even among your churches today. It's impossible to have 45,000 different denominations and they all be telling the truth. There must be a lot of lies. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, it's only those who believe Yah as he is, knowing that he will not have his name to be polluted nor dishonored, that should be found worthy as faithful unto him. So consider, it says here, we're going to get it in 2 Peter 3:10 in a minute. It says, I was stirred up Egyptian against Egyptian. How about when everybody realizes how the system has lied to them. And many will seek to hold on to the lies that they've been told. Many will even claim to be converted, but converted according to the ideals and dimensions they wish to uphold and not the fullness. And my brothers and sisters, that's going to be indeed a great revolution whereby men shall indeed fight against one another, claim it to be righteous, but so many ways far from it. And they shall fight everyone against his brother. His brother. Think about it. Some converting. Some realizing the truth. Some not. At a time of great distress when many will be talking about what they feel needs to be done to cast aside the great wrath of the Most High. But not discerning fully enough. Great distress the scriptures talk about in Luke. You need to read around 25:27, right up in there. Talk about great distress upon the nations. How about first being distress upon Jerusalem, the people of Israel? But then a latter day distress upon the nations when the nations find out that they really just didn't know what was necessary to turn back the wrath of the Most High and to find what is indeed sanctuary. and righteousness before him. Meaning that what's happened among the nation, my brothers and sisters, has never been. Listen to me. The rulers among the nations never fully converted to the righteousness of Yah. And all nations have remained under a veil of mass illusions, corruptions, not true to the faith at all. I want you to hear me. See, I will stir up Egyptian against Egyptian. They shall fight one against his brother, everyone against his neighbor, city against city. That is internal strife, revolution. And they put down kingdom against kingdom. And I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, it really means man, each man his belief against another man his belief. Because some, my brothers and sisters, will seek the freedom to discern and walk in the fullness of what Messiah shall bring. But many of my brothers and sisters, I said many of my brothers and sisters, will seek to retaliate against the realization of that wisdom. Got a lot to talk about with regard to that. I'm looking at my time. If I can move on swiftly, I can manage to cover enough of this to relate the points as they need be. And the spirit, how about that which made and kept the people in allegiance to all these fallen standards among the nations shall fail in the midst thereof. How about fail because of the message of righteousness the Messiah brings and the revelation of his presence. What about Revelation 6:12, talking about that great earthquake that occurs? How about a great unsettling of the ideals of the nations? How about that great earthquake that destroys that city from which Messiah should speak? That city that's a mirror example of all the unrighteousness of the world that it rebukes the whole world from initially. Scripture said the kings will be running for cover, saying to the mountains and rocks of the nations, hide us, and still more concerned about themselves. Wow. Hide us from the face of the Lamb and him who sits, how about rightly upon the throne. For the day of his wrath has come, who shall be able to stand? Well, all those who trust in the fallen standard of the nation, my brothers and sisters, are not quite ready. Scripture says the same thing in Malachi, talking about the one whom the Lord who you seek. Think about it. He calls himself the great I am that I am. If you don't know all that is, certainly you must seek him. Because Scripture says that those who, according to Psalms 14 and Psalm 53, did not seek him sufficiently. Well, there's some scriptures pretty harsh there, my brothers and sisters. It says, the Most High looked down upon the sons of men, to see if there were anyone who understood. How about how much they needed to seek? Yeah. In the Aramaic, it reads it this way. It says, because men did not understand how much they should seek, Yah. There's none righteous, none that does good, no, not one. None that does completely all true until all the Most High will be pleased with. Therefore, evildoers, how about those who would deceive men after false righteous, devour his people like bread, and he will scatter the bones of hypocrites, misrepresentatives. Scripture says, because in Psalms 14, none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah 59, no intercessor. Isaiah 41, the Most High looked and saw no one preaching the fullness of the gospel, the fullness of the whole word, that men might discern between good and evil. The scripture says, ultimately, in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, the Messiah must send a righteous one to reveal again righteousness. And blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will look to him. And in that day, Israel shall be saved. Israel shall be glad. Israel shall be made whole. All the people true to one righteousness. We were talking about Revelation 6. White Horse Rider, I'm telling you now, according to Revelation 19 also, is Messiah. If you really want to know more of what I'm talking about, there's an article on my website, hiddengospel.com, called Tribulation 70 through 365 AD, that explains also, in the midst of that article, there's explanation of the four horsemen. They call the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I would say that the need to examine, my brothers and sisters, the seven seals. Because the first seal, my brothers and sisters, is the gospel going forth to the nations. Second seal, Red Horse Rider, is the nation retaliating against that gospel, as Rome did. No longer are we talking about a church, they said, based that was initially based upon the promises the Most High gave to Israel. Rome seeks to twist it entirely after the ideals of the nations. That many call themselves believers today and still don't know the promises. Wow. Red Horse Rider, nations retaliating against the faith. Black Horse Rider, scripture says he has scales in his hand. How about, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about these scales relate to famine. Famine for a word. Acts 8:11-12. People going to and fro, seeing land, seeking the word. The true word of the Most High, can I find it? So do not hurt the oil and the wine. It's talking about famine for a word, my brothers and sisters. They start murdering. Red Horse Rider taking away the peace of the earth, murdering and beheading the believers. My brothers and sisters, what do you think is a result of that? And they start to silence those who knew the truth. Pale Horse Rider, death and hell. What do you think is the result, my brothers and sisters? There's a famine for a word, and no one hears the word of righteousness. Remember in the days of Moshe, Most High sent a lawgiver, but the scripture says death reigned from Adam to Moshe, a man in a fallen state of conscience. The Most High didn't say he would exalt any of the presumptuousnesses of man. Man fall away from the new knowledge of the gospel, he is misled, lost. Well, my brothers and sisters, I want you to think about what it means when it talks about corruptions, multitude of false prophets, false testimonies from the time that Rome came in and murdered so many millions of believers in the first centuries of the church. The scripture says all of them will be murdered. The scripture talks about those ancient saints who stood up for the faith, were given white robes. They asked, how long, O Lord, before you render vengeance upon those who dwell on earth? And he told them there was a rest a little while till all the rest of their brethren should be slain as they were. Wow. My brothers and sisters, that's 6 and 12 Revelation. Needs to be examined. If you look at the original scrolls, 6 and 12 Revelation have to break. Scripture's talking about sun and moon darkened, great earthquake. Think about it. Why is there a constant breaking of the scrolls? Every time scripture talks about sun and moon darkened, stars falling from the heavens. Scriptures like to find it Isaiah 13 concerning the fall of Babylon. I'm telling you now, those prophecies have to do with a long time between 70 AD, the first four centuries, and now. In the book of Daniel in the Aramaic, please look at Daniel 11. I can tell you can look at this website. Another website that will tell you what the Aramaic has to say. Look at this website, lamsabible.com, and look at Daniel 11. I can only tell you that in the Aramaic it talks about from the time of the rise of that system that murdered so many of the saints. Setting up a system having horns like a lamb, speaking as a dragon, executing all the murderous authority of that system before. But it's surreptitious murder, my brother. This is a spiritual murder. Spiritual genocide. Scriptures talk about, my brothers and sisters, from the time it rises that system. We have immediate promise for 1,000 days. 1,000 days translates to 1,000 years in Scripture. You need to think about it. The 4th century to the schisms of the 14th century. Coming of the Black Plague, they called it. Whereby even the priests could not stay the death and demise of so many after so much pestilence that occurred in Europe. Well, many of my brothers and sisters began to suspect the less than authenticity of the Roman Church. Protestant Reformation sprung out of it. Sounds like 1,000 years to me, my brothers and sisters. Truly it does. But the scriptures in Daniel actually said, after that time, it's still a long time for the time appointed before the end of the times. I hope you understand what I mean. And I talk about it in Luke 21, 24, 25, Romans 11, 25 to 27. It really means to the time of the Gentiles comes to an end. The time of all the diverse ideals of the nations being no more and all the world ruled from Jerusalem. Hear me and understand. Second Kafer. 2 Peter 3:10. Many look at these scriptures and they really have not discerned what this is talking about. They think these scriptures are talking about the end of the world. No, my brothers and sisters. 2 Kafer, 2 Peter 3:10. Say, the day of the Most High will come suddenly as a thief. in the night. Where else have we seen those scriptures? Consider Revelation 16:12. Messiah said, "Behold, I come as a thief." He talks about the drying up of the rivers. Drying up the river is symbolic of finally his people being delivered from all the constraints and the mindscapes of the nations in this context. Scriptures speak about the same thing in Isaiah 11. I would have you to give consideration. The scripture talks about the coming of the one called the King of the East. In the Aramaic, at 19:1-5, it actually talks about the one before whom the river should be dried up. They said they call him the Medes. How many understand who the King of the Medes is according to Jeremiah 50-51, concerning the one who destroys Babylon of the confusion of the nations once and for all? And the scriptures say he delivered the Egyptians into the hand of the Medes. That's actually a blessing. Why? Because it means that the confusion of the nations shall be no more. And many shall have the opportunity to awaken to the truth. Isaiah 19:18-25 talks about the destruction of a city confused, swearing by the name of the Most High, speaking the language of Canaan, in the midst of Egypt. How about all the corruption of the nations? Confused, but calling upon the name of the Most High. Obviously in vain. And he said, because the multitude of oppressors, he will send them a savior and a judge who shall deliver them. One who shall show them beyond the confusion. In fact, my brothers and sisters, to establish righteousness in the earth, those who seek after righteousness shall no longer stand and no longer be persecuted. But in fact, my brothers and sisters, shall rule. Scriptures there even go as far as to say that we men shall finally, in knowing the true will of the Most High, how about his righteousness? He says, he calls them still Egyptians, my brothers and sisters, whenever men still walk after the ways of Egypt. That's not true to the faith. But he said, the Egyptians shall know the Most High in that day. And they shall vow a vow unto the Most High and shall perform it. In other words, they no longer make a vow to the Most High according to their own vanity, according to the righteousness of Yah. And it says, in that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Egypt shall serve with the Assyrians, Israel being a blessing in the midst of the land. That is world peace, my brothers and sisters. Why didn't they tell you this? If you haven't considered these elements of the scenario, you don't quite understand. Revelation 6:12. I want you to think about breaking scrolls. Every time it talks about sun and moon darkened, powers of heaven shaken. Type of things talk about portend the end of Babylon according to Isaiah 13. Why is there breaking the scrolls every time it talks about such things like in Matthew 24:25, Mark 13:24, Luke 21:25. Why is there always a break in the scrolls? Revelation 6:12. Revelation 16:12-21. Every time it talks about that scenario, about the destruction of the city that Messiah has warned, please read Zephaniah 3:1-5 and understand what I'm talking about. When it talks about the destruction of that city, sun and moon darkened, talking about all the idolatries that the men have upheld, because all false worship is based upon sun and moon worship in so many ways. It talks finally, my brothers and sisters, about finally all these things being exposed, and I hope you understand this, but when on the Day of Atonement, I'll give you an example. On the Day of Atonement, when it was that the offering of the Most High was accepted, the Shekinah glory came down. And yes, my brothers and sisters, like a cloud. It talks about the day when finally there'll be an honorable offering for the Most High, but it's also talking about the idea about all that men had called wise. After all the false worship has been done in the earth, all of it will be exposed by a greater light. Preferably, my brothers and sisters, you look at that website of mine, hiddengospel.com, Secret City Prophecies, to understand. The Messiah in many places is called the Righteous One likened to the rising sun, and like for instance at Isaiah 41. The one who reveals the light to the world would obscure to keep men in darkness, to compel men to trust. Now I want you to understand, the sun is rising, causing all the other so-called light in the night. He caused all the so-called light in the night to be exposed as unrighteousness. All the stars of the heaven are pale before the light that rises with the morning sun, the morning star. So, in many prophecies, Messiah is related as one who comes for the express purpose, I hope you hear me, who comes for the express purpose to expose all the unrighteousness that seems bright in the night. In fact, Isaiah 50:10-11 says, "He among you who will trust in the name of the Most High, who will serve him, and has no light, let him trust in him whom Most High has called by his name, and be saved by his Elohim." A scripture is parallel, Isaiah 49, speaking of Messiah coming forth, saying, "Listen to me, O isles, and hark to me, O you nations. Most High has called me from the womb and from the body of my mother. He made mention of my name." How about to reveal his glory, his honor, to bring Israel back to him, even if awaken all nations to one salvation. Scripture says, my brothers and sisters, he said, from the body of his mother, he made mention of my name. How about calling by name according to purpose? Most High will not give his glory to another, therefore he will reveal his glory through one. He gives his name. Because the Yahweh so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, those who believe in him, I didn't say in others, might not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says, especially those who believe in his what? His name. The very name Yeshua means that Yah is salvation. Didn't say any lesser standard. Didn't say anybody else's ideals. He will deliver his people from their sins, it said in Micah 1:21, means deliver them from all false standards. All of them are sin. So there are many of my brothers and sisters who don't realize the Messiah comes in the latter days to do exactly that. And Isaiah 45 says that he comes, that the Most High did not clear the earth in vain, create the earth in vain, but that his people might dwell upon it, which means that he had to purify it and make it a place habitable for people who would walk in righteousness, having no oppressors to dissuade them. He will set up peace in the world. And the only way that's going to occur, it means that all those who uphold unrighteousness, having no love of the truth, the scripture says he's going to refine this world. Two-thirds of humanity will perish, but those who remain, I'm talking about Zechariah 13, but those who remain, they will say the Most High is the only Elohim. Isaiah 45:6 speaks the same. I would have you to consider, my brothers and sisters, these scriptures in 2 Kings 3:10, because many think that these scriptures talk about the destruction of a world. No. So in the day, 2 Kings 3:10, says, in the day in the Most High will come suddenly as a thief in the night. Those scriptures talk about the one coming, the coming called King of the East, of Revelation 16:12-21. Messiah says, "Behold, I come." He is that one called the King of the East. Faith, early faith was not called Christianity. It was called Kurdishanya. Kur meaning sun, tis rise, Shah, king. Shah Shen Shah, hey, king of king, is an Eastern title, my brothers and sisters. And actually, it goes back a long, long time. In fact, my brothers and sisters, it goes back to lingua, all the way back to the time of Noah, after the flood. People called the Kurds. Abraham was a Kurd. The word Kurd, Kurdi, actually relates sunrise to east. Shah, king, king of the east. Why don't they tell you what that's really all about, my brothers and sisters? You say he comes suddenly as a thief in the night. What did he come for? Scripture says, "Blessed those they who keep their garments, that they may not walk naked and men see their shame." Please understand Malachi 2:16. It talks about nobody who has a residue of the spirit would do all the corruptions against the faith that men amongst these churches today have done. And it talks about, my brothers and sisters, that let no man hide his iniquity in his robe. In other words, hide his injustice under so-called priestly robes and titles. Princely robes and titles. Messiah is going to take his name back. All those who have gained authority by misrepresenting the Most High, he would expose as unrighteous. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will understand what I'm talking about here. You're going to really need that article I spoke to you about. HiddenGospel.com, article called Great Tribulation, 70-365 AD. Trust me, it's a revelation for many. Second Kefa 3:10, but the day of the Most High will come suddenly, and then suddenly as a thief in the night. And what's the ruling powers is what it means. Elements of the earth, the elementary powers of the earth. Elements means those principalities and powers that rule over earth. Ruling powers shall pass away because, they say, with a great noise. Let me tell you, that word for great noise is a sighting, inciting. The word there means a shout or a voice or a message that incites the people. How about incites them to a revolution? With a great testimony. And the false rule over the nations shall melt when they see the exceeding righteousness of Yah, and to him shall all nations seek when they see an exceeding light. With a fervent rebuke, with, let's come say fervent heat. Those who know what I'm talking about, folks in the islands, talk about fervent rebuke from the Most High, and they say, fire! That consumes all false righteousness. It shall consume all the false and evil works, my brothers and sisters, that have had dominion in the earth. And they should be burned up. Most High wants to eradicate every obstacle against his people discerning the truth of these things. All I can tell you is pastors have preached these things, and the scriptures warned us against the falsehood that's taught among the churches and the administrations of man today. Messiah will not have to come to save a world, revealing again righteousness, if righteousness, true righteousness, was being taught among those who call themselves of Abrahamic faith today. Abraham was told to walk after the perfect work, perfect will of the Most High, and it would be a blessing to all nations. He didn't say any imperfect or any polluted standard would be sufficient to dissolve all unrighteousness, to dissolve all falsehood. You need a pure and perfect word in all to abide in it for there to be peace. And regretfully, my brothers and sisters, I see today, because of Western polytheist intrusion into the East, against the expectation that was so powerful in the East of Messiah to come to expose all unrighteousness, something that Western polytheists could not endure. Because of this, my brothers and sisters, we see so much corruption. What the Most High gave his people in the expectation of one called Shiloh, that men might expect one who would expose all the unrighteousness of all the rulers. It was an anti-exploitation mechanism the Most High gave that men should know to seek beyond all the unrighteousness of their rulers, expecting one to reprove them all, that they might seek the ultimate admonition and knowledge of the truth, that they might be prepared to understand his exceeding testimony. But the scriptures tell us in advance in Isaiah 28, the Messiah comes, respecting and relating word line upon line, precept upon precept, that the rulers have taught the people next to nothing, not to be able to understand the exceeding word of his testimony. It says, who shall believe his report? When most only have doctrines as if they were barely weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Not ready for strong meat, deep word, not yet. But again, my brothers and sisters, I'm just laying out some foundation here because I'm telling you, to truly understand these things as they should be understood, you're going to need to check out that article on my website. Articles like the Secret City Prophecies, articles like the one called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Tribulation, Great Tribulation, 7365 A.D., articles like another one called The Gospel of Shiloh, Remember the Promise. All of these are promise you needed. A word that's there, another article called Woe to the Shepherds. You need them. Promise you do. Every bit of it. That and more. I regularly on this show, almost nightly, almost, 3 years plus now, I've been elaborating upon the type of things you see on that website because I know they need elaboration, verbal elaboration on this show. And I invite those who listen to call in. In fact, there's guests call in. Tonight's call in with 661-554-9212. For any questions that anybody might have with regard to the things of which I've spoken. But I would have you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that rulers acting as if that great tribulation that murdered so many saints, that the end result of it was the been constancy of false prophets, false testimony among the churches until Messiah returns. They've acted as if that didn't happen. Millions murdered in the early centuries, and you think Messiah said nothing about it? We know the temple doesn't stand today. It was a time when it fell, and people act like those prophecies never came to pass. They do this so you won't realize the treachery of their present multitude of denominations. Like I said, they get their degrees from seminary schools, that they can take that piece of paper to any denomination they want to, Doctor of Divinity degree, take it to any religion even, not just so-called Christianity. They can take it to Protestant denominations. They could take those Doctor of Divine Science degrees. They can take it to the Catholic. They can take it to Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, some of everything. Now, brothers and sisters, do you really believe that degree is about an absolute before the Most High? It's a worthless, vain piece of paper, my brothers and sisters, whereby men want to sit back and say they just have authority, supposedly to preside over congregation, to give the people what they want. Like a lot of pastors told me, it's not about what the Bible has to say, it's about them having a profession, which means it's all about the money. It's telling you what I know. I've seen it. I've cornered many behind closed doors and openly before congregations. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how many of them were just simply ran for cover or ran into their little offices and never came back out while the congregation was asking questions about the things of which I gave an alert. Can I tell you about many times, like I said, talking about these things when somebody asks questions in congregations? I told them where they could find the answer, and the pastors immediately got a little upset that somebody even called attention to such verses. And they called that little big bouncer guy in the back of the church. They want to make sure you come out and tell you they don't talk about those verses of Scripture in their churches. Their churches. I'd like to know then, my brothers and sisters, upon whom or what do they say their churches are founded? Think about it. If they tell you that the revolution
90 seconds
that was that early Great Tribulation has not occurred, as if there's been no anti-Messiah, and the nations already were. Psalms 2, kings perverted for taking counsel against the Most High and against his anointed. Then they have you, they've had a lot of people run to the churches. I've heard people talk about the idea, oh boy, we're going to have to, the way they put it. Let me see if I can give myself a little more time, because I'm going to need it.
60 seconds.
Oh boy. Looks like they turn the time and moving quickly. If I can get this done, maybe I can give myself a little more time. Yes, I think I made it, thankfully. I've heard Messianics, Hebrew Israelites, per se, actually preaching as if those things that happened in the first centuries have not occurred. Because they don't want to tell you that many are keeping the feast, the Shabbat, the law of the Torah, but according to the will of the flesh and not the spirit. That's why you see so many different institutions, even among those who say they are messianic. Hebrew messianic today. And most of them still hardly know Messiah as the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, the one who will expose all the rulers. Because they don't want you to know that's what he must come to do, because Most High said he looked and he saw none righteous, no, not one, so he has to send a righteous one to expose all unrighteousness and means including them. So they've used these scriptures to draw people into the churches. Well, the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, the revolution that is to come is one in which Messiah will declare an absolute righteousness the world has forgotten for ages. To expose all the unrighteousness that's among all the nations, all the rulers, presidents, kings, premiers, prime ministers, whatever you want to call them, pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, imams, it really doesn't make any difference. Exposing wherever it is that they have twisted the truth, and wherever it is, my brothers and sisters, they have denied the truth. But they didn't want you to know that. Truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, the churches today being contaminated don't bring anybody out of the world. They're contaminated with worldliness. Why? That's why there's so many of them. Different denominations, per se. different beliefs, per se. The revolution that is to come, my brothers and sisters, would expose all the unrighteous. But they've used these doctrines, twisted them well out of context. You don't even know who Messiah is. Think about it. He said he's the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star who exposes all the misrepresentations concerning himself that men have taught. But they didn't tell you that, did they? So they've used these doctrines, not telling you the scripture talking about the rise of false prophets, what you see among the churches to this very day since those early centuries. Rome sought to murder anyone who talked about keeping the law that is in the Torah. In fact, they called them anathema, accursed, for keeping the law of the Most High versus the misrule of the Pope. Think again. Said the beast, those who refuse to reason with the Most High as one, will think to change the appointed times and laws. Look at Daniel 7:25 and understand. And many have been in bondage to those, my brothers and sisters, who sought the murder of those who one time knew the truth, and quite frankly, the recovery of the remembrance of that fullness of truth has not yet occurred. Scripture says the Most High sends His Spirit, however, to teach all things and bring all things to remembrance. Have men remembered all those things that have been forgotten over the course of these many generations among the nations under great persecution? Messiah comes by that Spirit. He says, behold, my servant, my elected, my soul delights. I put my Spirit upon him. He should bring forth justice to the nations. There's no justice, my brothers and sisters, but that which is from the beginning declared eternal. Any lesser standard is not the gospel. A multitude of partial and imperfect standards is only a multitude of contentions, conflict, hypocrisy, and misrepresentation, the work of devils. The Most High told me directly, and I thank him for that early on. He told me these words around the time of anointing. He told me if I could, I could tell you what happened then. Heaven help us. He told me, after a bout of looking around and seeing so many different styles of doctrine in the world, it made absolutely no sense to me. Tried to make sense of it. Tried to petition the Most High beyond the folly, realizing something had to be desperately wrong. Tried to make sense out of it. I said, well, Father, they believe this because they believe. Oh, but that doesn't make any sense. They believe that because they believe that. That didn't make any sense. Anybody in the right mind wouldn't believe that either. I remember trying to make sense of it all to pray for the systemic, let's just say, for awakening of men beyond the confusion that's here. And I couldn't find any real reason that anybody could believe so many of the things that they have been taught in these churches. I know after hearing from the Most High personally myself and reading scrolls that he put before my eyes that explained so much of the scripture that I know that otherwise I might never have understood. After seeing those things and hearing the power of his voice, I knew that he's not about, and to put it like this, Papa don't take no mess. So it made me wonder how so many say they knew him and they feel like they can just play with his word the way they have. Now try to make sense of the anomalies that I heard among the churches after having seen so much of what I found out later was the Bible, having seen it on scrolls before I had a chance to read it, explained upon scrolls that he put before my eyes and explained. Well, I tried to make some sense of this insanity, contradiction, and conflict that I see in the world today. Couldn't do it. I was trying so hard that I remember one time going near where I was on the porch at that time, and there was actually a brick house, and I remember going by the wall the outer bricks of where a fireplace was. And I remember actually hitting my head against a brick wall trying to find make some sense out of it all. All I got out of it was a knot on my forehead, bloody forehead, and a tooth that actually went right through my lip because I was trying so hard to make sense of this insanity and I couldn't do it. I almost got ready to hit my head again. And like Most I say, don't do that. You're going to need it. He said, if you can make sense out of all the contradictions you see in this world, he said, you wouldn't be one of mine. I give mine better sense than that. I know it's going to sound hard when I tell you this, but I'm just telling you. Because there's so many contradictions that exist in the way these things are being taught among the churches that, quite frankly, if anyone is willing to be very, very diligent in seeking these things with a whole heart, a lot of these lies they can never believe. But he told me, my brothers and sisters, quite frankly, he said straight out, if I could look at all the contradictions that I see in the world, I would say if you can look at all the contradictions you see in this world and believe that they are a work of his spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it. It's not a work of his spirit that men resist any of his truth. Light does not deny light. Truth does not deny truth. He told me if I could look at all these contradictions and believe that they are a work of his spirit. He said, I couldn't be a disciple unto him. I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, you can believe that a multitude of contradictions are true. You can believe any devil. That's not sufficient, my brothers and sisters, to be made stable before him. Tell me the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. But what they think they know, not giving all things consideration, he said, is not wisdom. Not wisdom at all. See, some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. He said to me, every lie that a man believes, every half-truth, every hasty conclusion that men draw, not giving consideration of all things, every lie that men believe is an obstacle against men discerning the greater truths. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's so many times that men have sought to explain these scriptures, not giving consideration to all that the Most High said concerning these things. They've left so many, my brothers and sisters, so far from discerning the reality. But my brothers and sisters, trust me. All prophecy says Messiah comes for the restitution, restoration, refreshing, remembrance of all things. According to all the Most High spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since world began, to declare the cumulative word. It says whoever will not hearken to that full reckoning of the word should be cut off from among the people. That means you should seek all that the rulers are not telling you. He said your rights must exceed that of all your contentious rulers. Or else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah, the kingdom of peace. Anyone who will seek to compel you not to look at the fullness of the words. Scripture says, my brothers and sisters, that one is guilty unto hellfire because he seeks to make men foolish. I wish I had the time, my brothers and sisters, to go through all the places in Scripture that relate the chronology of what I'm telling you is true. Please check out that website, my brothers and sisters, for the blessing of your brother, for your blessing, for the blessing of your brethren, for the blessing of the holy name. Like I said, I'm here on a regular basis. It says guest calling number. Lately, I've been pretty consistent with that same number, 661-554-9212. If anybody has any questions regarding these things, I have a little bit of time. If anybody wants to call in and have questions about these things, when we can discuss anything that I've said, if there's any missing context and anything that somebody wants to have clarified, I'm here for a few moments. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that Luke, for instance, concerning these things, Luke 17, heard somebody was talking earlier about the scriptures that have been translated saying the kingdom of Yah is within you. Luke 17, my brothers and sisters, is in so many ways a reflection of the scriptures of Zephaniah, third chapter concerning Messiah in the midst of a city declaring righteousness. But hey, those who didn't know what righteousness is, know no shame, wouldn't recognize him at all. And that's a prophecy concerning the last days, by which the Most High said thereafter he will vent his wrath upon all nations, showing all nations that what they thought was wise was not wisdom at all. Revelation 6:12, the rest of that seventh chapter speaks of the same. Revelation 16:12-21 speaks of the same. How is it that most have not known it? Well, I want you for a moment, my brothers and sisters, to consider something. The scripture there that's actually saying, not that the kingdom of Yah was within you. He was talking to the scribes and Pharisees. The kingdom of Yah was not in them. They asked the question, when will the kingdom of Yah come? And Messiah is saying the kingdom of Yah will not come then until he rules from Jerusalem. He said to them, the Son of Man does not come. Or let's just say the kingdom, or the prince himself. The word for king and kingdom, hey, you need to be looking at what they how they're written in the original translations. The king, my brothers and sisters, recognize is the symbol of the kingdom itself. He said that the king or the prince does not come by easy observation. It takes a degree of consciousness, recognizing indeed what is divine right, so that men might understand the structure and the truth of such a magnificent word. He said, in effect, my brothers and sisters, they put down kingdom is within you. He was saying the king is right here in your presence. And what he's really saying, you don't see him. And he said, the days will come, you desire to see one of the days, the Son of Man will not see it. Meaning you desire to see one of the days in which his light shows forth. And my brother and sister, the world will only see darkness. Read Isaiah 59 and understand what I'm talking about. Meaning that the doctrine that you by and large have been taught, my brothers, have been tainted so many times in so many ways. Quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, I'll even go and tell you this. I know what the original texts have to say in so many ways. But those who translated them, they didn't have the insight. Isaiah 29 tells you the same thing. Talk about the book being sealed, men only knowing the words is learned by rote, crying out to him with their lips, but with their hearts, understanding is far from him. Most I told me to know what is said and not know why it is said, missed the point. It says, be like a hungry man who dreams that he is eating, dreams that he is drinking. When he wakes, he finds he's hungry and famished. In other words, thinking he's getting good doctrine. When he wakes up to the real reality, he realized, guess what? He knew nothing. So the Most High, by a wonderful manner, inspired by great inspiration that he shall pour upon his people. Even the revelation of Messiah himself shall he set apart a people that will not only discern the words of the book, my brothers and sisters, but shall keep the words that are in it. And he says he's going to have to put to the sword, cut off all those who lay snares by a false word. All this I'm telling you now is in Isaiah 29. The revelation that has to occur, my brothers and sisters, is going to be one against all those who despise the revelation knowledge, the greater than the revelation knowledge of the Most High, that will expose all these multitudes of false righteousness, misrepresentations that are presently taught among men. Well, he actually was saying, the prince is in your midst. And just like it was, he said, in the days of Lot, who warned the city, and Noah, who warned the world, so would it be in the days of the Son of Man. They asked him about this destruction. They asked him, where would this be that people will have to be watchful to discern? It's really talking about a time when people should know to watch out for the destruction that occurs at the city. Because what the scripture is really saying is that when Messiah appears, it's only those who knew to follow him who would survive. I know a lot of people are going to say, well, hey, man, that's an international city with some everybody's belief in it. I had a good Baptist brother in there. You mean they didn't survive? I had a good Catholic brother, good Presbyterian. Seventh-day Adventist, hey, Hebrew Christian, Hebrew Israelite, Muslim, Buddhist, Baha'i, Sikh, Hindu, brother. You mean they didn't make it? Who did make it but those who knew to follow him wherever he leads? Well, scripture says from that city that it has all the variant misbelief of a whole world in it. Messiah will reprove a whole world by what happens at that city. If you think about it, my brothers and sisters, give this to consideration. They asked him where this occurred. Last verse of Luke 17. And then the next verse talk about a city. Think about it. And they asked the question, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Will anyone believe his testimony? Sounds like so much other prophecy. He said, wherever the carcass is, there will, the word there should be translated eagles. They translated it eagles. Excuse me, I have to get a little something on my throat. Sometimes it makes it a little difficult to speak when it's dry like that. A little better. Whew. They translated it eagles in your King James Version. The verse is actually, they are vultures. Wherever the carcass is, that where the vultures gather. He's talking about something that shall bring forth a destruction. I would have you to look at the first four verses of Isaiah 34, 1 through 4 sometime. It talks about the carcasses that should be the result of the anger of the Most High against all the nations for having lied against his righteousness. Same thing as in Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Last verses, a lot of verses in that 34th chapter, says, there will the vultures be gathered, everyone with a mate. Revelation 19 says he gathers forth all the fowls of the earth, taketh the great supper of Yah, great kings and rulers. Wow. I want you to also consider, my brothers and sisters, those prophecies talking about great wrath upon first upon the city and then upon all the nations, wherever men will stand against the righteousness of Yah. Read those verses, they're talking about, you know, the heavens open like a scroll. How about the veil that blinds people from seeing the truth of the righteousness of Yah? Or the false edicts of all the nations that stand against men discerning the righteousness of Yah? The veil that's covering over all the nations, exposed, rolled up as a scroll, men might finally see what is the greater righteousness of the heavens. It talks about it being like the powers of heaven shaken, the rulers on high shaken, like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind, cast forth untimely figs. I want you to think about it, my brother and sister. Those same verses saying the same thing on Revelation 6:12 on about that earthquake that occurs at a city. Same exact story. What do you think he was talking about? So wherever the carcass is, there where the vultures gather. Think about when he's talking about a great wind that cast out the figs of the untimely figs upon what must be a bad tree. Think about it. A good tree, storm comes. I guess this is a very, very vicious storm. Storms come, rains come, and a good tree, it still brings forth mature fruit. But a bad tree, slightest thing, it drops its fruit long before it's matured. And it brings forth fruit not considered mature, therefore bad, and bad in the context of not being good or whole, mature. Who's willing to understand, my brothers and sisters, what Messiah was talking about? They broke the scrolls. Some of your texts, if you look in your Bible, some of your texts relates to breaking scrolls. Not go to a Bible bookstore sometime and look for a really good Bible that will tell you where the scrolls were broken. You'll find that, amazingly enough, over and over again, Matthew 24:26, right up in there. Mark 13:24, Luke 21:25. Breaks in the scrolls. Every time I talk about sun and moon darken, powers of heaven shaken, stars falling from the sky, as a sign of what the scriptures are talking about at the fall of that city called the city of destruction. You'll find that in Isaiah 24 through 27 chapters, particularly 24, 10 through 16. You'll find the same theme, my brothers and sisters, at 25, 1 through 3 through 10, 27, 9 through 12. You need to understand it. I can only tell you with the time that remains, because like I said, this is quite intricate stuff. It's the kind of thing that I really should space over the course of a few nights. Revelation in the 14th chapter talks about whoever it is that will hold on to the miscreant doctrines of the nations, the marks of the beast, the standards of the nations that would not reason as man is given capacity. Man is given capacity after the spirit of Yah. Marks of the beast is the standard of the nations. The scripture says all those who have taken the mark of the beast. How about all the standards of Babylon? The scripture says they've taken the wrath of the Most High that is mixed, that is, you know, cast out, if you want to put it that way, upon humanity undiluted. It says the ones who survive are those who keep commandments of Yah after the faith of Yeshua. I didn't necessarily say the commandments of Yah after seeing wives in their own minds, but as Messiah himself reveals it. It talks about those in Revelation 9 and 4 that because they keep the fullness of that testimony when it is revealed to them. Oh, I wish I had time to explain to you Isaiah 66, 1 through 6 through 15. It says because they keep the fullness of the testimony, they will be concealed and confirmed as faithful unto Yah. He seals 144,000. He says those are the ones who will survive the day of the wrath. It doesn't make sense the Most High would seal a people as confirmed, steadfast unto him upon whom which he would use to help build his kingdom. It doesn't make sense, my brothers and sisters, say they would perish. But my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there's a time that is mentioned in Revelation 14, and it talks about, quite frankly, it says, blessed are they who die in the Most High from henceforth, because there's going to be a great revolution. Some will survive those days, some will not. So there's a scripture that says it this way, blessed are they who come to him early. So the revolution, my brothers and sisters, is going to be toward keeping the commandments of Yah, where the earlier revolution was a matter of people seeking to maintain the commandments of Yah, seeking to turn men again, and the nation seeking to turn them against them. Now the nation's going to still be turning, trying to turn people against the commandments in the latter day. But my brothers and sisters, that is a revolution wherein many realizing, since at least many today believe in the coming of a Messiah, and many will seek to hold on to their deceitful doctrines against the truth of him, and some will turn, knowing they need to turn toward them. The truth the Messiah does reveal in his righteousness. But I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, revolution that is to come is going to come because of a revolution wrought because of a great revelation. And this time, my brothers and sisters, is because the Most High in his judgment will not allow the unrighteousness of men to survive, and the world will know it. I got news for you. Believe me, Rome knew for all its treachery that, in fact, there were many of the early church that knew it, that Rome would be given power to deceive the nations. And guess what? Rome, not truly believing in the Most High, not believing in the Messiah at all, just wanted to make him part of their pantheon. I hope you hear me. Just took advantage of that portent and dealt treacherously with all the nations and have done so even to this day. Isaiah 66, I need to say these quick things quickly, but Isaiah 66 talks about how the Most High sees the corruption of the churches in these days. And it talks about Messiah declaring a powerful word finally to rebuke both church and state, city and the temple, against all the corruptions that are there. And the scripture says when he declares this word of righteousness, those who truly understand, the scripture says because some will truly understand, it'll be like a nation, Israel reborn as it were in one day. Israel bringing forth her children. It's all part of that revolution. Some folks running real quickly, my brothers and sisters, because they don't want to be part of those ones who come later. But some might not survive the time of great distress and then those days is to come. Why don't they tell you about that, my brothers and sisters? Why don't they seek to prepare you for this? Scripture says in Acts that you should, he told the people on that day they should repent, seek to return to the fullness of the Most High, so that when the days of refreshing come and restoration of all things, whereby all things are brought again to remembrance, men might be prepared to convert. What about if you don't know what you need to convert to and you don't recognize enough of the truth to recognize the word of truth when you hear it? That you might be able to convert and have your sins blotted out. In other words, be proven that you have the type of humility and reason that upon discerning the truth, you can turn away from what is unrighteousness because you recognize unrighteousness. The scripture says Messiah is going to surely come to declare testimony, giving consideration of all things. See, whoever will not hearken to the fullness of that testimony, of that prophet, the fullness of his testimony, his prophecy, his preaching, he said be cut off from among the people. Remember what they call in your Bible, they put down the word new covenant. The word Kaddish actually means a restoration, a remembrance of a covenant. Remembrance of all the things that men have been compelled to forget among the multitude of varying nations who sought to constrain the word of truth. It says, he'll make a full end of all nations that have sought to divide and scatter his people. He says, he will write his laws upon the minds and hearts, and the tribes of Israel and Judah shall again be one. He will write his laws upon the minds and hearts of his people. I said his law, that they be his people. All shall know him, none able to dissuade. That's the restoration of a covenant, my brothers and sisters. It's not a new covenant. It's the Most High keeping the covenant that he already made when he promised, even way back from the days of Abraham, that the people of Yah would be scattered among the nations ultimately. But he promised he would one day restore them. The prophecy goes beyond what happened in the restoration that occurred for Israel under Moses.
90 seconds.
Remember way back in Genesis before the tribes, well, when the tribes, first of the patriarchs first went into Egypt, they prophesied, Yisrael spoke to his children. They talk about that one called Shiloh out of Judah, and that the expectation of one out of Judah, unto whom all the nations should seek, as a lawgiver, which Moshe prophesied of himself, prophesied like unto himself at Isaiah. Need
60
to read
seconds.
All those, like I said, what I told you about in Acts 3:18-23. Prophecies also in 29th and 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. It talks about in the latter days all these things being remembered. Moshe was not of the tribe of Judah, my brothers and sisters, but Levi. So you need to understand that the expectation, the one they were talking about, is one that from the time of Moshe was future, still yet to come. How come they don't tell you about the gospel of Shiloh, my brothers and sisters? Check out that article on my website and look at my time is just about up. So many things need to be spoken about. So many corollaries. Genesis to Revelation repeated
10 seconds.
Untold number of times. But that scenario has not been taught to men to keep them off God. I can only tell you I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. I thank him for the wisdom he has granted. I thank you for giving and listening ear. I thank him for every ear, as I said before, that he brings near, and to his might, to his honor, and his praise always. Hallelujah!